and welcome to the 20 Minutes of Filler, episode 50.
50?
50. I am your host, Jason Gutarski, and I'm here with my friend, Eric Carlson.
Hello.
So Eric has been on in the past, and the cool thing about this whole podcast, you know, the thing I say with my company, Green Couch Games, is we make great little games that make great big connections, and that's because I love the connections that games make. So I thought it'd be cool. I'm hanging out with Eric today, and this is a relationship that has developed. Well, it was initiated because of the podcast, because of the 20 Minutes of Filler. So since then, Eric and I hang out, like, on a pretty much a weekly basis.
Yeah.
He's also a minister, and I hooked him up with some employment at the hospice that I work at. So we work together in hospice as chaplains. We play games together. He was at Grand Con with me, slanging my wares at my booth so I could, like, you know, go and get a sandwich every once in a while or whatever. And I just wanted to just kind of share some time. It's the beginning of the year. We're reflecting a little bit about what we did over the holidays, some cool games we like to play together, and just wanted to kind of just point out, again, how much I just love that, like, the connections that games make. Have you made any other cool connections in gaming, Eric?
Yeah, games have really brought our family together, my wife's family, especially all the brother-in-laws. There's five others. We just come together, we play games as much as we can when the kids are napping or playing. So that's a great time. We really enjoy the bonding that comes, and even the parents are coming in now. They're playing, like, Quirkle and other various card games. So games really are bringing us together in ways that are good. They cross all those barriers and divides. So that's been great.
That's awesome. So, like, what kind of games are you playing with your brother-in-laws?
So I got Risk Legacy a couple years ago. And we play that at least once a year, whether we need it or not. That's just, like, much commitment as I can get out of them for it. But they love it. It's so fun.
So you're slowly progressing through that story with those guys?
Yeah. We got about seven games under our belt in, like, two or three years. So it's slower than I'd like, but still fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. We played the Lords of Waterdeep, which is, I've only ever played that on my phone. So I got to play that for the first time in board form. And it was so great.
That game is fantastic. So, and yeah. I tried playing it on the iPad, and it was a really good implementation. But there's nothing like, you know, pulling those cubes out and paying them back in. And like, the tactile feel is just so important to me.
It's good.
So what about playing with your family? You said Quirkle. Like, what other kind of card games do you play with them that maybe they wouldn't have played without your geekiness coming into the fold?
Yeah, Quirkle has been a big one, and that was actually one of my brother-in-laws. After I got them into the nerdier side of board games, he found Quirkle and brought it out, and
awesome.
And so that was cool. So it's you know, you touch one life with board games, and it just keeps going. It's like a ripple effect.
Yeah, it's contagious. It is another way of looking at it, right?
Absolutely.
That's really cool. Quirkle is a cool game. It's like a great camping game. I like it because it's got the wooden blocks. It's chunky. It's a little bit like dominoes. It can get banged up, and it's just like that casual kind of kick back and place tiles game, which is a cool thing. And that was a Spiel des Jahres winner, too. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I won the Spiel des Jahres a couple years ago.
That does not surprise me. It's quality game. We also discovered those hidden identity games, like One Night Ultimate Werewolf, and Coup is one. And it's a big family, so we need these games that can engage larger crowds. And so that's been cool to
see. Are you playing Coup with your, like, mother-in-law?
Yeah. It's awesome. And she's pretty ruthless, so you gotta watch out.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. That's cool. So we want to share, kind of just chat a little bit about some of the games we played over the holidays specifically. Happy New Year, by the way. Did I ever say that?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's going to be a good year. Right off the bat, I'll just say one of my resolutions is weekly episodes of 20 Minutes of Filler.
Thank goodness.
That might even mean me just talking into a microphone by myself if I can't round up somebody to do this with. And it's going to be really entertaining. I'll make sure to do it really early in the morning or really late at night, so it's hilarious if I have to do it that way. But that's my resolution. So what's one of the games you played over the holidays the past couple weeks?
Let's see, what do we get to the table? Pandemic Legacy was amazing. We messed it up completely the first time through, but it was still gratifying and and we won, and lots of cool things in store. You can tell the box is just so weighty. It's got so much girth in there. I was really surprised.
That game is sitting on my table, and I haven't cracked the shrink wrap yet. It feels good. Like this sacred moment is going to happen when it does. You know, like I have to be sure to be all in. And my plan with that one, I got it for my birthday. My plan with that one is that it's going to be the wife that me the wife. It's going to be my wife. It's going to be the game that me and my wife play together over the next little while. Like we're just going to we're going to do this campaign
together. Two person campaign.
Yeah, I think you can do it with two, right? Yeah, you can do original with two. So she really liked Pandemic originally, and we haven't played it in a while. But I think that the progression will be cool to experience with her. You know.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a neat one.
What about you? What did you get to the table?
Dude, well, my kids got a bunch of games. So we got a bunch of kids' games to the table. So we got Me Want Cookies, which Scorpion Mask puts out, which is one of the studios of Yellow. And it's this great kids/party game. It's like speed. If you played Ghost Blitz, where like it's a visual perception, right? Like Ghost Blitz is, oh my gosh, it's like, it's amazing. So you have these different objects on the table, and you flip over a card, and you have to find what is exactly pictured on the card that is one of the items, or what is missing from the card, right? And then you'd be the first one to grab that item. So this one is similar, where you have a die, and you have these different wooden tokens that are treats. You got like a donut, you got an eclair, you got a piece of pie. So there's like these six different tokens, right?
Yeah.
And the die is those six different things. There's six sides to the die. So you roll the die, and there's three cards that are on the table. And each of them, each of the cards has all six of those items tied together with licorice ropes. And they're all twisty-turny, right?
Okay.
So like it goes like from the pie down to the cookie.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. So like if I rolled the pie, I got to start at the pie with my eyes and follow on the first card, the pie goes to the cookie. And then I got to jump to the second card and go to the from the cookie to whatever goes to on that card, so the eclair. And then the eclair goes, then I go jump to the third card, go to the eclair, and follow that twisty-turny licorice rope all the way to the end where I get to the donut. And then I have to be the first one to grab the donut token.
Oh, okay.
So it's like you're following this maze with your eyes, and like they're all twisty-turny, so you get mixed up. And it's really cool because you play with our kids, because there's some advanced cards. So the third card, if you're an adult, you can do the harder card. So you have two ending cards. The kids do the lower one. The adults do the upper one. And it's this like frantic fun party game.
Sweet.
It's really nice. The cards were a little thin for a kids game though. Yeah. So like I feel like I don't want my kids to touch this kids game because they're going to destroy it. So I'm going to have to get some tarot cards. So I got to find tarot cards to get that. But Me Want Cookies was a good one we played. Outfoxed from Game Right.
Oh.
Awesome game.
Yeah.
We got that for the littlest one, the 3-year-old, because it's like a co-op.
Oh, nice.
And she can kind of help us a little bit with it, but it's a neat co-op. Like, there's a fox that's moving along a track who stole Miss Plumpkin's pot pie, right? And you're looking for suspects and looking for clues. Or you're looking for suspects, you're revealing suspects and looking for clues to narrow down who the suspects are. There's these foxes, and they all have different, like, one of them has they have cloaks, some of them have canes, some of them have hats, some of them have glasses. And what it is when you go and you move around this little roll and move board, and you're picking up a clue token, and you put it in a decoder, and you slide the decoder window open.
Awesome.
And if it's green, that means that item, so if it's a pair of glasses, right? And if it's green, it says, well, anybody with glasses is not a suspect, so you can discard all the suspects. So you're trying to reveal all the suspects, you're trying to remember which clues have been revealed, and whether they are the thief or whether they're not the thief, and kind of just quickly trying to deduce it. But there's a dice rolling mechanic, too, that's a real simple, like, if you fail your dice roll, the fox moves forward, essentially.
Oh.
Really cute. It's like $15. Production value is amazing. It's got a big board. It's got these nice plastic, like Sherlock Holmes hats.
Oh, cool.
Like the mover pieces that you're moving around the board. Cool. And we played that 5 times over break because my kids loved it.
Yeah.
And it's even Grandma played it with the kids. You know,
nice.
She liked it a lot. She wanted to play it again. She played it twice in a row. So,
well, anytime you get that decoder out there, like that just adds so much to it.
It's got that. Yeah, dude, it's got that toy value. Yeah. And, it's such a cool game. So we did that. We played a little bit of we played Project Dreamscape, which hopefully we'll talk a little more about in a future podcast. But a cool filler, kind of conveyor belt set collection game with some really good artwork.
Well, speaking of Game Right, my wife went off on her own and picked out Sushi Go for me as a present because she said, I actually thought she'd like to play that one. That was the criteria that was met. And I was actually really proud. It was that sentimental moment of like, oh, you really do listen to me and you love me and you picked out something we can both enjoy.
Oh, dude, that's a great thing. Even though she bought you a present for herself, right?
Right, yeah. So if it's a game, that's fine.
Yeah. So tell me about, what do you think of Sushi Go?
I loved it. It was fun. It's just quick and simple. There's a little bit of strategy to it. You got to try to remember. You know, it's interesting playing it with like two people versus playing with four. Because there's just such a different dynamic of, well, I saw these cards a long time ago, and what's coming next, and try to get the right sets there. So, yeah. It's fun. It's fun. Quick.
It is a cool game. Let's compare it to Best Treehouse ever, though. You played both. What do you think, man?
I mean, Best Treehouse is one of my first filler loves, so it's hard to get past that. I just love Best Treehouse ever. By Green Couch Games.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
See, the cool thing about having your friends on to like your games is they can shill for you instead of shilling just straight up.
Well, that was one of the first games that you and I actually like played when you were playtesting Best Treehouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The first times we get together and hung out. And so, you know, Best Treehouse is a special place in my heart. And my name's in the rule book, too, so that's cool, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, I really still like Sushi Go. It was Treehouse took it to that next level. You're building a display. You're building something that you can look back on rather than just collecting cards. And the scoring has a nice little twists and stuff. But Sushi Go is a really, really solid game. And it's really brought the drafting games to like this level and like this wide audience. So
yeah.
And that's a cool story about that is it was a Kickstarter game too, put out by Adventureland Games and Game Right got a hold of it and brought it to the masses. So
yeah. That's awesome.
Very cool. Yeah, that's a good one. One of the other games we've been playing together a lot lately, last few times we hung out, Bottom of the Ninth. Mike Mullins and Daryl Lauder from Dice Hate Me Games. Talk about that a little bit.
I mean, I love baseball, and I love this Bottom of the Ninth mechanic, just pitcher versus the batting order and all the nuance. There's just so much big game in this little box. There's so much to it, so that's amazing.
Yeah, like, it's almost overwhelming to me how much stuff. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to complain that there's too much stuff. But, like, I've just gotten barely scratched the surface.
Right.
And I've won every game we've played together.
You're the worst.
So, just, that's really what counts. I think, I think I like pitching.
Yeah. Pitching. I'm really bad at batting. I think it might favor the pitcher.
Yeah?
I get beat every time.
Oh.
Like, my brother-in-law, he threw the same opposite pitch as his, like, best pitch. Four times in a row, and it just threw me off. He kept throwing the same thing. I thought every time, surely he'll throw the best thing he could throw at me, and nope, just this lame pitch. And that's how he beat me. So that's how it goes sometimes.
Awesome. You know, like so. For those who don't know, it's gotten a lot of buzz. There's been a lot of stuff out there about the game because it's beautifully packaged, great presentation, and a really fun game. But it's two players head to head. You're in the bottom of the ninth in the baseball game, pitcher versus batter. You have the stare down. There's a little bit of the paper, rock, scissors trying to read your opponent. Yeah. You're playing a couple tokens secretly and trying to guess what the other player is going to guess or what they're going to throw at you so you can try to hit it. Special abilities, different batters, different pitchers. A little bit of a real-time race element. If there's a hit, you're rolling to see if you can throw them out at first or if they're going to be safe or not. And if the batter gets one run, they win the game. And if the pitcher gets three outs, they win the game. So it makes me feel like I am good at baseball, even though I can barely.
It does have that element.
It's cool. So if you like baseball at all, if you play Little League, even if you're terrible like me, like Bottom of the Ninth is definitely worth a look.
It gets you through those winter months when you don't have baseball around. You can live the dream all 12 months of the year.
Heck yeah. So one of the other ones we want to talk about here is Rolling America, another Game Right release. Game Right's getting lots of love on this podcast.
Are they sponsoring the podcast today, Jason?
Dude, I've said it before. I love Game Right. Like I love what they do with like the wide spectrum of family to kids games, and they present their stuff really well.
Yeah.
And there's just a great variety, and I like small games, and they do a lot of those. They're really clever, quick card games and dice games. The one we want to talk about today is Rolling America, which you can pick up at Target. Like, I couldn't find it anywhere, and we stumbled on it in Target. Like, I'm looking at game stores, I'm looking online. Target had it before everybody else. So, good for Game Right, right? Getting their stuff out there. But they've been around for a long time, so they've been hoofing it and selling games. So, this game is designed by a cool designer named Hisashi Hayashi. And he designed the game Trains, which is an AEG deck builder game. Really cool kind of Dominion with a route building element. Oh. And a really clever filler called String Railway, where you're like using shoelaces to create rail lines. So this one, it kind of has the train theme, but it's loose because it's just you're traveling around the map. It's a pretty abstract game, but it's a dice game. So it's seven dice and a sheet of paper. Right? Like in a little bag that you draw the dice out of.
Yeah.
And what you do in the game is you pull out two dice. They're each just D6s with stars on them instead of regular pips. And there's seven different colors. And there are six colors on the map, which are the different regions of the country. You roll two dice at a time, and you look at this map, which is like rough outline, very rough, kind of blocky outline of the United States. It's like
a Tetris version of America.
It is. Yeah. And you plug in numbers. You plug in the numbers of the dice. So if I roll a blue 2, I find a square, and I put it in a blue square right down to 2. But the rules are you can only place a number next to a blank space, an X, or another number that is within 1 of that number. So there's some special abilities that allow you to break that rule. Like you can do a color change 3 times during the game where you take your die color and change it to any other color. You can do a guard, which is where you circle that number when you play it. So it means you don't have to follow that neighboring states kind of plus within 1 rule, or the duplicate. You can choose to place that color and number of one of the dice in 2 squares of that color. And you just get to use each of those abilities 3 times during the game. You play over 8 rounds, pulling 6 dice out of the bag, so one is always left behind. And then you find out who has the most X's. With the X's come when you can't place your dice, or you have a blank space at the end.
Yeah,
it's a super, you know, again, super nice presentation. The cool dice, they're just D6s, but they're really cute because they're colorful and
right.
Got stars. It comes in the cool magnetic box like Quix.
Yeah,
and that's who is probably going to be the audience for this game. People who like Quix.
Absolutely.
What kind of feel did you get from the game when we were playing it?
Yeah, it was real puzzly. A lot of things working, especially the deeper into the game you get, the more rounds you played, the harder it is to place things and to figure out how can I manipulate this to my advantage.
Yeah, it has a cool progression to it. You start off like, I can put this wherever I want, and pretty soon you're like, oh, I can't put this anywhere.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of press your luck, too, because you're really hoping for certain numbers later on as you're crafting your board, as you're putting things together. So you're just betting on, will this come up for me, will it not? So.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe people who like Sudoku, too, like that kind of number puzzle, like that's kind of that vibe for me. So it's cool because right out of the box, it's a solo game too. You just play with the same rules and just try to get your best score. Which my first game, I got 17 X's, which is not great. Game Right says in the rules that they've never gotten a score below 5.
Oh.
So it's really hard to get below 5.
What did I get this first game?
You got 9 in your first game, and I got 13. You beat me. But I definitely improved from my first game to my second.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's just however the dice fall, too,
that's
right?
That's true.
So, Rolling America, it's like $8. Like,
really?
It's an $8 game.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe $8.99, $9 or whatever. But, cool game. It was originally called Rolling Japan. That's where Hayashi Hisashi is from.
Makes sense.
And that's where it came out first. And Game Right picked it up and ported it to the American map and brought it to this market. They call it the Star-Spangled Dice Game.
Nice. So,
yeah, really cool game. I would definitely recommend it. It's a little thinkier than a Yahtzee kind of a game. You have to be it's a little quieter, a little more like, we're paying attention to our map and thinking about what we're doing rather than, like, we're going to, you know, have some drinks and, you know, toss the dice around at the
right.
pub.
Yeah.
But it's a cool experience to pass the time with.
It's nice it's a single player, too, that solitaire aspect. You know, it's something that you can do and you just have a little bit of time and no one to play with. I find that that is often my situation. You know, I'm always looking for a good single player, and this is fun and puzzly.
Yeah, so, and the cool thing about that part of it too, I think, is that it's small, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of solo games like that you can play or that are coming out, like Hostage Negotiator, right?
Yeah,
like it takes up some table space.
Right.
Yeah. Pandemic, you can play, you know, solo if you want to take two roles, you know, but you got to set up this whole game. Right. This is like put it in your pocket and you know, play it right there, wherever you are. So solo games are cool. I think we'll talk about that more in the future too, because I've been doing that a little more lately, just because it's a cool way to scratch the itch of getting some mm-hmm. games in and
absolutely
and kind of like looking at some of the games that work well with that. So
it's kind of like going to the movies by yourself. It's weird the first time, because movies can kind of become a social thing, but once you go and you do that solo game, it is actually really just as gratifying as beating your buddy.
Totally.
So, you know, it's cool. You just got to try it.
Absolutely. So what are you looking forward to this year in 2016? Any gaming stuff that's like really on your radar?
I mean, Tiny Epic Western is just around the corner. It's like dropping soon on Kickstarter, right?
So yeah.
Looking forward to that one. Walk on Fire.
There you go again.
I mean, I love that game unbiasedly. It is amazing. It's this great dexterity. It's quick. It's so fun. It just scratches a number of itches for me. So I love that. Can't wait for it to drop to see what happens.
Yeah. I'm kind of in go mode for that one. Adam McIver's updating some of the art stuff for me. The designer Pokey did the illustrations that are super cute, along the lines of Sushi Go. Like they're really cute. Vegetables with faces and you know, stuff you don't want to eat, but
hey. Animals with bones sticking out of them.
It's pretty quirky, awesome art. And the game came from Taiwan, and it's been neat to kind of work with him over email and with the help of Smooks too, who's another member of his game design group that's been kind of translating for us and being the go-between guy. But the game's getting ready to go, and hopefully in February we'll launch the Kickstarter for it. Have reviews popping up soon. I just dropped a bunch of review copies in the mail, so that's kind of got me busy. I'm looking forward to that. For me, I'm really looking forward to. I'll have four Green Couch games released this year at least, for sure before convention season, hopefully. Yeah. So I should be getting some proofs in the mail today or tomorrow for Avalanche Yeti Mountain.
Awesome.
And Jurassic Attack is on its way to the United States. It's all happening. And then just looking forward to, I'm taking my wife to Unpub with me in Maryland in April. It's at the end of her spring break, so she's going to come with me, and I'm not going to have a designer table this year. I'm just going to be there as a publisher, and you know, I'll probably bring some stuff to play in the evenings of my stuff, but just kind of floating around and checking out games and getting to show her that whole experience.
Yeah.
And then it's convention season full. I mean, it just happens so fast. So I'm looking forward to that. So it's going to be a good year.
Cool,
I think it was a good year last year. Let's make it a better year this year. And, like I said, hopefully I'll see you in a week or less with another episode of 20 Minutes of Filler. So thank you guys for listening again and again. And if you want to get in touch, just find me on Twitter at Jason Kotarski or at Green Couch Games. Eric, where can people find you?
At DonutCow11 on the Twitters.
DonutCow11.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, Eric likes games. He's a cool dude. Hopefully you'll see him around at another convention with a green couch hoodie on or something in the near future. But until next time, get out there and play some great little games.